chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now, when the Pharisees and some of the scribes had come from Jerusalem, gathered around Jesus, they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they thoroughly wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders. And they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash it. There are also many other traditions that they observe, the washing of cups, pots, bronze, kettles. So the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders and eat with defiled hands?" He said to them, "Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites. As it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines.' You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition." Then he called the crowd again and said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile. But the things that come out are what defile. For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come. Fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly, all these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I'd like you to be seated. Growing up, I had no idea why God hated jewelry. This is how Debbie Thomas begins her 2018 essay on the gospel text for this week. She goes on to describe how she was taught that her bare ears and unadorned wrists were a visible sign of her wholehearted devotion to Jesus. But all she felt was alienation from her peers, which led her to resent God. "What was the point," she writes, "of parading my unornamented limbs in church every Sunday morning if my hidden heart was seething the whole time?" Now, it was only many years later that she heard the history behind her church's no ornamentation rule. When her great-grandparents were newlyweds, a charismatic revival swept through southern India where they lived, and many young adults embraced that simple faith that the revivalists encouraged and, at great personal and social cost, changed their lifestyles for the sake of the gospel. And one of those changes was around jewelry. See, at that time, gold meant status. To have a wife or a daughter adorned with gold jewelry gave them and their families status. The more, the better. It proved their worth over others. And that was true even in a Christian household. So these converts decided to live counterculturally by foregoing that ornamentation as a testimony to God's non-discriminating love in Jesus Christ. It was a powerful and costly witness to the equality of the gospel. Yet now the context had changed, and what had begun as a spirit-filled witness to the gospel had become something else. A spirit-less tradition that had settled into legalism. Now, readers of this gospel text often treat it as an excuse to dogpile on the Pharisees. "Yeah, those hypocrites! I'm so glad we're not like them." But if you listen closely to what Jesus says, you'll see that he speaks not against the Pharisees themselves. What Jesus does is he points to the real problem, and that's the human heart. For it is the human heart that has the capacity to take something that might be good and turn it into something that harms others. Jesus reminds us that the human heart is to blame, not a particular human. And so in this way, he puts some distance between the individual person and what they do. And that seems appropriate, since even the Apostle Paul says, the things that I ought to do, I don't do. And the things I don't want to do, I do. Jesus reminds us in this text that we each have the capacity within us to harm another human being. This is the sinner that resides within us. And yet, we also have the capacity within us through the power of the Holy Spirit to bring healing and wholeness to another. That's the saint that resides within us. Now, when we recognize this capacity within us to do harm to others, it means that we ought to be suspicious not only of others, but ourselves. Why? Because it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come. But back to the Pharisees for a moment. The hand washing and rituals that the Pharisees are talking about, most of them actually are in Scripture. They're not made up. And they certainly are something that they understood to be deeply related to their keeping the covenant with God. They believed they were living faithfully in this way. And what Jesus points out here is that they've changed something that was meant for good and turned it into something it was never designed to be, an essential action for their faith. Like the wearing of jewelry for Debbie Thomas, the focus on this action as an essential component of their faith has become a stumbling block to people, mostly because the policing of that belief blinded them to other, more important things. Jesus came to open our eyes to see things as they are. Martin Luther talked about this as being a theologian of the cross. A theologian of the cross calls a thing what it is, a spade a spade. And Jesus does this here when he says our concern ought not to be whether people have washed their hands, but with the capacity for evil that lies within us all, within all human hearts, yes, even within the hearts of the followers of Jesus. And so in this way, we should be wary of even our own motivations and ponder what lies behind them, especially before saying that this particular act is the will of God. Anytime I hear someone say that, including myself, my antenna goes up. Because too often it's not a God thing, but a human thing. Personally, I'm much more comfortable making broader, more sweeping statements about God based on a lifetime of reading and hearing the story of God's pursuit of God's people that is contained in Scripture. God's love for all of creation, God's desire to be in relationship with us human beings, we who are created in the very image of God, God's desire that we should love God with all that we are and that we should love our neighbors as ourselves. These things, which require the transformation of the human heart, are what God desires from us. Now, the other things may be important, but they become expendable the moment that we place them in the way of God's desire. If you think about it, what might your ritual hand-washing belief be? The one that you think of as essential to being a follower of Jesus, but which maybe isn't as important as you think. Think about why that might be so important to you. Is it really something that God commands? Or is it something that might be important to you and to your faith, but is not essential to the faith as a whole? We should also remember that evil that lies in the human heart is both individual but also corporate. A group of individuals made decisions that rolled down and had negative effects on Debbie Thomas years later. And we know the truth of this fact, don't we? How something we do here, now, in this time, in this place, can roll out and have effects down the line. Just ask the folks who live along Hoosier Creek about how work done out at the airport affects them. Or ask the folks in Sun Valley and Cedar Rapids along Indian Creek how what happens up the line from them, the development that happened up the line from them, affected them in 2002. Flooding. This reality means that our care is not just for our own actions and what that they might mean, but also the things that we do corporately. To look at how we might be causing harm to others, even unintentionally. That's on us all, collectively. So it behooves us to listen to what others say with humility and to address their concerns with a willingness to see the truth, even if it doesn't feel that way to us. The truth is, the human heart is the source of much evil and harm. Yet, the promise of God in Christ is that we also have the capacity to affect people for good, to bring joy, comfort, relief into their life. That family at Home Depot did that for me in some small way on Friday. And this promise of that capacity for good is one that is also individual and collective. What we do here can extend to places and people that we never meet. I think a perfect illustration of this is that Liberty Mutual commercial where the small act of kindness of one person inspires the rest. And if you don't know the one I'm talking about, we'll show it to you. This in no way is an endorsement of any insurance company. But instead, is a wonderful illustration of that reality that the little thing we do now that maybe helps this person can also touch so many more lives than we can imagine. And that that action then can trigger things that we cannot see the end of. It only takes one word of kindness. One moment to stop and help someone pick something up. One thank you. One word about how talented someone is to change a life. And I'm sure many of us have those experiences that we could name, those stories and moments that we could name in our own lives. They're often small actions, maybe something that the person who did them wasn't even entirely conscious of, but that conveyed so much to us. Things that we remember now, years later. It is in those moments, I think, that the reign of God shines through. That we catch a glimpse of it. And it is in those moments where we individually or corporately truly are Jesus for that person. Where our walk of faith so closely matches Jesus that there is kind of a harmony that is created that is more beautiful and lovely and powerful than the songs of the full choirs of angels. And I don't know about you, but I want more of those moments. Let us pray. Oh God, we know the capacity of our hearts for evil. Dim that within us. And by the power of your Holy Spirit, pour upon us instead, the capacity to heal, to bring joy, and through your gospel to bring life fuller and more abundant to all those whom we meet. We pray this through your Son, Jesus Christ, who is our Savior and Lord. Amen. I invite you to stand.